Welcome, Eagles, to another episode of Trad Cat Night Radio. I'm Eric Ajewski, founder and owner of Trad Cat Night, the most viewed and followed traditional Catholic website in the world, ladies and gentlemen, ranked number one as it relates to traditional Catholicism by Alexa, a now top 20,000 website. I want to thank you all for your prayers and support over the past 3+ years. It truly has been an honor and a blessing to serve you all. Make sure you're subscribed to Trad Cat Night right now. Click that notification button so that you can get these videos sent directly to your email. They come to you Monday through Friday. Special guests from all walks of life. Today we've got another good one. Continue to spread word of Trad Cat Night to your friends, family members, church members. Click that PayPal button. Get behind us in this information war, as we know who the real fake news is, and it's not the alternative media. We continue to expose the globalists on every level, whether it's economically, politically, socially, just as my next guest, who's been with us here at least 3 times before, V, the guerrilla economist, who has worked for some of the top commodity trading firms and investment banks. He's also contributed to private think tanks that help create investment forecasting. His track record is uncanny and well-documented via his many appearances on a wide variety of radio programs. V has predicted with pinpoint accuracy the play-by-play of the Eurozone crisis. He was the first to warn about Japan's disastrous economic policies, and so on and so forth. I know just about all of you know who V is, so we really don't have to go too much further into that. V, how are you doing this morning? And the big news of the day is, are those 29K stock market shirts printed and available now on Rogue Money?
Nah, not yet, man. We got to make them soon. We might have to adjust it to Dow 39K the way things are going.
I know. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about that? I mean, listen, when you first said that, I was like, wow, really? And now it's like, okay. It seems like a possibility. What's the latest things as it relates to economics, some things that stand out to you, and then maybe we could get more specifically into Trump?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing that people need to be watching is this. You know, there's a shift that's going to occur. I've been speaking about it for quite some time now. You know, my team's written articles about it. And the shift is coming. The big shift that's going to occur is happening within the bond market. And we're seeing that, you know, people are getting skittish, not only of, you know, American bond market issues, but also European as well as Japanese. There's a great deal of worry amongst many investors that the bond market is completely overvalued, that there's a considerable bubble in the bond market, that it is held together by fiscal gymnastics. And we see this in, you know, the Bank of Japan being the biggest buyer of Japanese governmental debt. You see it with the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve being the biggest buyer of U.S. Treasury bonds, and so on and so forth with the ECB and the BOE. So this is a big issue that's facing a lot of the Western economies. Many investors are jumping ship. They're getting the heck out of the Eurozone. They're getting the heck out of the Euro bonds. And they're getting into, you know, American equities. And they're coming into American equities, they're thinking to themselves, hey, you know what, should they invest in U.S. Treasuries? The answer is no. I mean, recently, again, the news came out that Russia and China were accelerating their dump of U.S. Treasuries. They're using U.S. Treasuries to pay for their pet projects like the New Silk Road, their energy initiatives, and various other economically or global and economic you know, projects that they're working on. And they're using the U.S. Treasuries to pay for it. Now, this is going to create a bit of a major correction in the bond market. And I think that correction is going to come. I think you're going to see in the next couple of months, maybe close to the end of the year perhaps, that you're going to start seeing people getting out of the bond market. Now, there, you know, a small percentage of them will get into gold, will get into silver, will get into Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies because they're going to be yield hunting. And yield hunters, and at the same time, they're going to be very unsure because there's going to be a lot of political upheaval that will occur with the wrecking ball that is called Donald Trump that is dismantling New World Order, Inc. and reformatting everything, so to speak. So the yield hunters got to go somewhere. So apart from the precious metals and the cryptocurrencies, they're going to be going to U.S. equities. So we're going to see a big stock market rally. We're going to see a strengthening of the dollar. You know, people calling for a weaker dollar policy. I think the dollar is going to be protected. and it fell a little bit past the U.S. Dollar index, went down just a little bit. But they are protecting the dollar. And I think, you know, the rest of 2017 is going to be the story of a high Dow, high dollar, high gold, and high Bitcoin. I think that's the reality we're facing for this year at least, and probably getting closer to the 2018 mark, where we'll probably see some sort of a major correction, because the show can't go on forever.
Right.
But I think what Trump is trying to make sure of is that we have the proper infrastructure jobs in place. Well, here's the deal. You have 95 million Americans permanently unemployed, meaning they've been looking for a job for the past 2 years. They can't find it. They've fallen out of the workforce. 95 million. You got, I believe, another 11 million or so receiving unemployment benefits. Okay? And you have another percentage of those that are underemployed. So you got effectively, you take all the numbers, and granted, there is some overlap here, Eric. But you take all the numbers together, you look at it, man, I would say conservatively you're looking at 52% of the country that's out of the workforce. They're not, you know, they're barely making ends meet. I think in order for us to survive a major stock market correction, perhaps that will include a revaluation or the writing down of our debt, we need to have in place some sort of a physical economy. And I think if you look at what the Trump administration is doing the last several months, last several weeks, in fact, it hasn't even been months yet, it's been weeks. Look at the amount of urgency that was done by him when he was president-elect, waiting in the wings to be sworn in on January 20th, to the point where he came into office till now. You would see a great deal of investment. You know, Chinese firms like Foxconn and Japanese firms like SoftBank and now the Japanese pension companies, pension funds, they all want to invest in the United States. You know, we've heard about all these, you know, the big three automakers, they're all coming back to the U.S. They're all wanting to come back and manufacture here. That is huge because we are finally retooling our factories and we're starting them up again. And this will get ourselves going into a vibrant, functional physical economy. And when you have a vibrant, functional physical economy, not the make-believe casino phantom Wall Street economy that Wall Street has created, but when you have a functional physical economy, it makes the transition easier. It makes the stock market corrections more palatable. It makes the debt write-down or the write-offs a much more easier pill to swallow. Will we be affected? Yes, we will. Absolutely. There's going to be some disruptions. But it's not going to be life-ending. And that's what we were facing before Trump got elected, Eric. We were facing life-ending, radical, Mad Max-style, fall-off-the-cliff economic crash. That is what we were facing because we had nothing to cushion the blow. Now, he's making sure that the cushion is in place. So we can have that crash landing in a rice paddy instead of on the side of the mountain.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. So what I'm hearing, V, is you've maybe altered your forecast a little bit with this reset, maybe not being in the second half of 2017, but maybe at just some point between now and, 2020, I guess? I mean, is it safe to
say? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd say anywhere between now to 2020.
Okay.
At this point, yeah.
Now, based upon
it's whenever they decide to pull the market.
Now, based upon that, you know, what stands to, you know, how's Europe going to fare in all this? We recently reblogged an article there on Zero Hedge talking about how Greece debts are mounting unsustainably. Yeah. And, you know, this whole thing with the IMF. I mean, where are we at over in Europe? I mean, is it, you know, we reset and then they completely reset or explode? I mean, how's that going to work? How's the domino going to work there?
We reset, they are screwed. I think the Eurozone project is over with. I think it's done. You know, I've been warning about the Eurozone for quite some time now. I mean, I've written so many articles on the record on it, me and the team at roguemoney.net. And one of the things about the Eurozone that really sticks out to you is the fact that, you still have those situations that are under the surface. You have a migrant crisis there. And the latest polls are over 50% of Europeans, 56, 64, you know, 55, you know, 70%. I mean, the polls are astronomical. They want the migration to stop.
Yeah.
Okay. They want it to stop. It is altering their way of life. You cannot take third world, you know, the unwashed masses from the third world, people who do not share not only your culture, not only your language, but the sanctity of life that you share, the sanctity of being free. You can't expect people like that to share those same values with you. They have complete ulterior motives and viewpoints and ideas that is completely 180 degrees separate from what you have. So they want that to stop. Now, the things that are still under the surface, Mario Draghi says in his latest quote, was that everything's fine in the Eurozone, that the bond yields and everything's great, the bond market in the Eurozone is perfect, that there's no really big problems, everything's going along swimmingly. To which I'd have to like ask him, Mario, how many magic mushrooms were you taking before you came out with that whole entire spiel? The fact of the matter is Greece is, you know, they're in a whole heap of trouble. And the question that was posed to them, I had my friend Harley Schlanger asked one of the Greek politicians, why did you guys leave the Eurozone? And he's like, well, if we left the Eurozone, we would have been totally screwed. We would have been destroyed. At least staying in the Eurozone, it afforded us an opportunity to kind of manage our debt a little bit, you know, get some sort of a handout, a little bailout. But they said, the consensus among the Greeks is, if the Italians go, they're going as well. Because now they have somebody to latch onto. You see, the Brexit was just the beginning. We're going to see the Ital exit. Germany, Merkel's going to be done. She's going to be overthrown.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a nationalistic movement rise in Germany, just as you're seeing nationalistic movements like Marine Le Pen rising in France.
Yes.
You know, so this is what's happening all through the world. It seems like New World Order Incorporated has been shattered to pieces. Their idea, their pie in the sky, you know, utopia has been torn to shreds, Eric.
Yeah, it seems like more and more people are waking up to kind of piggyback off what V has already said. Recently, it's been reported that France's anti-Christian attacks have been up nearly 250% in more recent times. Then we had today, we reported off of Shoebat.com, Austria has shut down their borders. They don't want any more immigrants coming through. So, yeah, it seems like more and more people are waking up. It seems like there's not only going to be a clash in this country, we'll get into that here in a second, but just on a worldwide stage as we're getting, you know, nationalists to rise up against globalists. Now, what's the latest talk with Trump, and I'll just call it the wall? This seems to be going forward as far as I can read, and Trump wants to make Mexico pay for it. Yep. The last I read, it's a project that may take at least 3 years. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong there, but what's the latest in that area?
Well, the latest with the wall is that the DHS has done the preliminary numbers. They're saying it'll take about 3.5 years, $22 billion. But I just want to let everybody who's listening to my voice, I would like to remind them who Donald Trump is. You know, being a New Yorker, I can honestly tell you, the one thing about Trump that is so synonymous with his name is that he does every single project ahead of schedule and under budget. Ahead of schedule and under budget. That is his motto. He is not somebody who stands up. He is the ultimate alpha male, you know, warrior king who is absolutely a micromanager when it comes to certain things. With this wall being done, yes, he's going to have the Mexicans pay for it one way or another. It's going to come. I mean, we're already at a $100 billion trade deficit with these people. You know, the wall they're saying is $22 billion. Trump will get underneath that price. He'll get it way below that. It'll probably slice the time in half. We can do this. We can do this, you know, and it's a real tangible reality that's going to be coming to place. And that's why we have refugees escaping out of America now, Eric. Did you hear about the ones that are crossing the Canadian border that are, you know, braving the frostbite?
Well, yeah, and then on top of that, you get all the libtards saying, you know, they want to move to Canada and all these celebrities. And then recently in the past few weeks, have you seen California wants to become a sanctuary state? You know,
oh,
I mean, it's
God.
Like, oy. You know, where are we headed with that? I mean, is that going to be a trend, you know, first starting with California? And California is so way off its gourd on so many different levels. My next question for you kind of piggybacks off of that a little bit. I know you had on Charles Hugh Smith, I believe,
yeah,
recently. Okay, and he talked about, you know, who's going to survive this coming reset, if you will. So why don't you break that down for us? Who survives and why?
I think, you know, this coming reset is going to be survived by those, of course, who are not only awakened, but these are also people that, you know, that are not, you know, these are the productive individuals. These are the productive individuals of society. These are the makers, the inventors, the trailblazers, the mavericks, those who believe in the beauty of rugged individualism. These are the ones who will make it. They always make it. Historically, no matter what the downturn is, Eric, these are the individuals, these are the creams that rise to the top, and they say to themselves, okay, you know what? The children have made a mess of the playground. They've made a mess of the house. Let's go in and clean it up. Let's pick up the pieces and rebuild. And I think we're the ones who are going to survive, Eric. In terms of those who are non-productive, those who are brain dead, those who are just living off the teat of welfare, generation after generation without making any sort of progress or change, those who are completely uneducated. And I'm talking about not even having a college degree. I'm talking about being educated. See, there's a difference between being educated, okay, and then being academically inclined. So, but being awoken to the fact of reality, those who are living in La La Land, like Generation Snowflake, those guys are not going to make it, man.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Another hot topic that you and I have both talked about, you know, quite frequently on this show is this kind of move towards, you know, getting out of, you know, paper money system into a digital economy, you know, mark of the beast watch, if you will. Mm-hmm. Zero Hedge also published another article, Cash No Longer King in Europe. It seems France and Spain have made some recent certain moves. We have former chief economists at the IMF, Rogoff, publishing a paper last year advocating that the U.S., you know, get rid of the $100 bill. I mean, we're seeing this. Yeah. I think it's in India as well too.
Yeah.
You know, what's the latest on that front, and what country do you think next will move in that direction as a trend?
I think globally it's going to become a trend. But the problem that these central bankers are having, and again, this is still the central bank hacks. They're still talking as if they are controlling the game. They are still talking as if they're the ones, and that their ideas are popular. That their ideas are the ones that are being championed throughout the world. And it's not. Central banks are obsolete. Banking in general is obsolete. Banking, I predict, will be the next industry that's going to be severely and drastically disrupted. We don't need banks anymore, Eric. I mean, think about it. There was a time when you were a business guy, you'd have to put together a business plan, you have to get an S-corp, and you got to go to your bank and sit down with a loan officer and hope to get a small business loan and file federal papers. Man, you got an idea today? You go on Patreon, you go on GoFundMe, you go on any one of these crowdfunding sites, you got all the funding you want for your business. Everything is becoming decentralized. You see how disruptive Uber was to the taxi and limousine service. See how disruptive you know, all these new technologies are, like Uber and Snapchat and Bitcoin, the greatest disruptor there is. Decentralized, nobody controls it. The power is in the hands of the people. That's where things are going. And bankers are holding on to the strength, thinking that if we build it, they will come. No, because you have creative individuals who are coming out with incredible solutions that are powerful alternatives to established mediums, Eric, and that's the trend that will continue in 2017, 2020, 2021, 2025, 2030. We're heading for a decentralized world. I think the idea is finally here. It's catching on steam, this whole idea and notion of globalism, this whole idea and notion of, you know, we need to get rid of the identity of self and embrace this, you know, cooperative kumbaya. That's being dashed against the stone. And I think this trend is unstoppable, Eric. I think it's absolutely unstoppable. I think we stand in a time and in a period of incredible human enlightenment, and I think it is an act of God. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, and so that's why I advocate everyone get to V's website, roguemoney.net. Again, he's handing out a plethora of information. I mean, they're covering things economically, geopolitically. Also get to his YouTube channel as well, folks, Rogue Money. He has daily updates with his sidekick, CJ. I'm going to be on his radio show later today.
Yep.
I've provided the link on my Twitter, and I've got it up on my social media. Should be a good talk later there, V. Now, kind of piggybacking, I guess, along the same lines. By the way, I think Poland just officially recognized Bitcoin. That was just a few days ago.
Yep.
So that's another good sign over there.
And Japan. Japan just recognized it as legal tender, bro.
Yeah, so some good signs there in that area. Now, I think, you know, I said this, and I was shocked to see Trump, you know, honestly get in. I said, you know, if he did get in, I felt like he would be, you know, the scapegoat behind the economic collapse or reset, however you want to, you know, pin it. But that ultimately the left would clash with the right. And I think we're beginning to see the underlying tones there. We're seeing these anti-Trump Soros-funded, you know, movements and protests in D.C. There was that other one there in California, that latest attack within the past week. I mean, now, the reason why I say that, V, is because all kinds of not only mainstream press, but alternative media is putting out there, you know, prepare, prepare, prepare. I mean, we've got, you know, CEOs of major organizations now moving like out of Chicago, buying up land like over in South America. And I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying it seems to me like more and more people are kind of preparing for some sort of domestic urban warfare here. And I think, excuse me, Max Slavo did an article on that on stuffhitsthefanplan.com just the other day. I mean, where are we with that? I mean, is it going to take that economic reset first before that might eventually happen here?
I mean, I don't see a road warrior scenario anymore. A lot of these guys who are CEOs, and here's the thing, this is what's really happening. A lot of these guys who are the top bigwig elitists who are buying property in like New Zealand, South America, and trying to get the hell out of Dodge, at the same time burning their records, erasing their footprints, and, you know, covering their tracks. Eric, these are the pedos.
Yeah.
These are the pedophiles, bro. Of course they'll be leaving. Of course they're getting the hell out of the country, because it's not only them, they're also the criminals. All the seditious group that are funded by Soros, that are in cahoots with Soros and his compatriots, which I'm, you know, got an article that I'm writing about it. And it's these individuals that are getting the hell out of the country. And yeah, why? Because they're in trouble.
That's interesting you mentioned that. I was on SGT Report with Sean recently. We talked about that with the whole Gothard Tunnel and a lot, you know, Pizzagate. Seems like these Satanists are having a coming out party. And they're like,
oh,
okay,
man,
we're here.
Yeah, they really are. And again, this is the hubris. We're going to find you guys, and if we don't kill you, we will throw you into prison where you will probably be killed, because one thing I do know about prison, okay, not that I've been there, but one thing I do know about prisoners, if you're a rapist or a pedophile, God help you, because they will beat the ever-living daylights and possibly even kill you in there. Yeah. That's what's coming. And what happened recently, we had 474 pedos arrested in California. Mm-hmm. We had a bunch arrested in Pennsylvania. We had 31 Haitian girls rescued from quote-unquote missionaries who were not missionaries at all. Again, linked to the Clinton Foundation. They were rescued in Haiti. This is all coming out. And remember what I think it was Dianne Feinstein said when Jeff Sessions was being sworn in. He says, the last thing she said to Sessions was, well, what are you going to do about the biggest problem facing our country, which is child sex trafficking?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many people caught that. I'm like, oh my God, that's a bombshell insider thing. And I guarantee, you know, Feinstein's a libtard. I don't agree with any of her politics. But at the end of the day, she's probably still human. She probably still cares about the fact that innocent children are being trafficked and abused.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, I was just about to say, along the same fronts recently came out, we handled this from the Catholic perspective. There's a report out of Australia, you know, a study done over 4,000 alleged victims incriminated in a child sex abuse ring out there in Australia. It seemed to be stats since 1950 suggested that one out of every 10 priests was involved, which is pretty astronomical. The bottom line is this satanic cabal has infiltrated the Vatican. I'll probably get talking into that with V later today. It's definitely quite sad, V. Now, along the lines of geopolitics, what are we seeing in Syria? Is it a possibility with the dynamics of Trump now that Trump, Putin can form a coalition to fight ISIS over there in Syria? I know recently Russia came out and said they disagreed with Washington on their you know, what they're suggesting about Iran. I don't know if that will fester any. I mean, we see those pictures on RT.com where the people in the streets of Iran, you know, burning pictures and effigies of Trump in the streets. Seems to be like that could kind of fester a little bit. We could talk about that first, and then maybe we could maybe talk about what's been going on Russia's border, because Ukraine's getting active, U.S., NATO. Sure. U.S. has been training with forces down in Poland over the past week or two. Yeah. Getting interesting.
Yeah, it's getting very interesting. The globals are doing their thing, but it's only going to be for a short time before that party comes to an end. Let's start off with Ukraine. Let's start off with the fact that you had Mr. and Mrs. John McCain, which is basically John McCain and Lindsey Graham. That's Mrs. John McCain, if you didn't know. So John McCain and Mrs. McCain, Lindsey Graham, were in Ukraine. And when they were in Ukraine, these idiots were on the front lines of Donbass. There was a ceasefire. There was a peace treaty in place. And these two a-holes who are just saboteurs, who wake up every day because they're just a bunch of miserable snots, decided to get up one morning and say, where in the world can we create as much chaos? Whose life can we screw up today? And they hopped on a plane, went over to the Donbass region of Ukraine, and decided to order the Ukrainians and encourage them to do artillery bombardment in Donbass, and then scream bloody murder when Donbass retaliates. And then some of the things that McCain and Mrs. McCain were saying, like Lindsey Graham, he was saying things like, we're behind you. Your war is our war. We need to punish Russia. Now is the time to go on the offensive. I mean, who is this turd? Like, who is this turd from South Carolina? I mean, my God, right? So this guy, he's out there saying that, and that's how, you know, that's when Donald Trump tweeted, they should be focusing on immigration, national security, and not out there trying to start World War III. That's exactly what Trump called these idiots out for. Bunch of morons, right? And then we go to the exercises in Poland. Oh, they're doing all these exercises. They're trying to reassure their European allies. This is the political arm of the military-industrial complex trying to flex its irrelevant muscles. And that's what's going on over there. In terms of Syria, well, Putin and Trump will be meeting in the Slovenian capital. Okay, they're going to meet, and they're going to discuss how to carve up ISIS. And together, Russia and America, oh, my God, can you imagine the cooperation? Russia and America will make the world great again. That's what's going to happen, man. This whole Syrian thing, I mean, Syria just pushed out the rebels out of Homs. They pushed them out completely out of Aleppo. Aleppo's been liberated. They're pushed into Homs. They've recaptured the oil fields, the oil deposits that ISIS was controlling. The Syrian Arab Army, the official, you know, Syrian military, they've recaptured that with Russian help. I mean, it's pretty much a dust-up operation at this point in Syria now, Eric.
Yeah, and I was supposed to have on a Syrian girl this past week. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make a connection on Skype. Got in contact with her the past few days. We're trying to reset.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's really good. I was trying to get an update on that situation. So, something to definitely look forward to on Tradcat Night. Now, kind of in close, a few more questions here, V. I know you got to get going, get things settled, and we'll get up on your website here later. Well, let's talk a little bit about our buddy George Soros, because I know this was your most recent piece from about a week ago.
Yeah.
The sun sets on Mr. Soros. What can we say about this NWO puppet, and maybe kind of give us a synopsis of this article?
Well, Georgi Schwartz, a.k.a. George Soros, the self-hating Jew, the Nazi sympathizer, the article is American Maidan. It's on roguemoney.net. I recommend people go there, read it to understand what the hell is really going on with Soros. Soros has lost billions trying to overthrow Putin and failed miserably. He was in over his head. He didn't realize how smart and cunning the ex-KGB colonel is in regards to Soros, who's just a Wall Street, a financial tycoon. And then Soros's terrorist organization, which is the Open Society Foundation. They're a terror group. Let's just call it that. They're a terror group. Wherever OSF goes, you typically find regime change, color revolutions, and blackmail. That's what you typically find wherever OSF goes. So Soros has spent billions trying to overthrow Putin. Didn't work. Putin warned Trump back in December there's going to be an American Maidan in Washington, D.C. And Maidan is the revolution that occurred in the Ukraine. The Ukrainian Capitol Square was called the Maidan. And that whole rebellion was called the Maidan. And Soros heavily funded it. Soros is the kingpin in the Ukraine. He's the major oligarch at play over there.
Yeah.
And Soros is trying to do the same thing here, but he's lost billions fighting Trump. He's lost billions. So the question right now is that I'm writing on and doing some investigations on, who else is involved here? Who else is helping Soros? And then I got word from a very reliable intelligence source from South America who had the pictures to prove it, who, you know, was working very closely near this certain individual, and he said, yeah, this is the person who's working with Soros. And I said, oh, my God, it makes perfect sense. And so I will be disclosing who that person is, but Soros is getting some help, and that is why this ongoing shenanigans is happening. But they couldn't have picked a worse time to do it, because Trump is already making plays against Soros. Supposedly he has Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, zeroing in on Soros. There's moves by the intelligence department. General Michael T. Flynn, who, you know, he will be, you know, utilizing the data mining operations of the NSA to triangulate exactly where Georgi Schwartz, a.k.a. George Soros, is, where his assets are hidden. And we're going to go after these turkeys, man. I think we're going to be using JASTA as well as the Patriot Act to go after these guys.
Yeah, and to kind of follow up on what V has already said, as I've been reporting upon, that women's march, that pro-choice movement that came out within this past month, Soros had his hands in that as well. 50 organizations were linked to him. And then recently, Soros' fingerprints all over these anti-Trump lawsuits, apparently over a dozen lawsuits, you know, have been filed trying to basically block his executive orders, you know, on these visas from Iraq, Iran, Syria, Libya, and such as that. So it's linked to Soros and some of these Democratic state attorneys in general. It shouldn't surprise us. Soros also recently came out and said, you know, Trump was a would-be dictator or something to that effect. And so no doubt about it. It seems to be that we have, you know, kind of Soros on the run. What in your opinion, and we'll kind of close with this before I give you some shameless self-promotion time here to close, but what are we looking for from your eyes that we should be keeping our eyes on maybe over the next month before we talk again? Is there something on your radar you're like, man, I'm all over this and not everyone's seeing this? You know, whether it's, you know, economically, geopolitically, whatever it is.
I think the thing to watch right now is Bitcoin is to watch gold. Gold and Bitcoin, and the stock market is cranking. I mean, I get emails all the time. I'm not trying to give anybody any sort of financial advice. Again, consult your own financial professional. But the point is, I mean, man, what a great time. If you want to just, you know, put your money in the market, it's a great time to do so. You know, Wall Street's a cash machine at this point, man. Just, you know, throw it into an index fund. You know, you don't even have to manage it. Just throw it into an index fund and just watch the money just collect. It's unbelievable. I think also it's a great time for precious metals. I mean, all the signs are there. You're seeing the pull away from the LBMA to the Shanghai pricing, which is higher priced on the spot price. And you're going to see the official price of gold coming out soon. It's only a matter of time. And, of course, watch what happens with Trump. Watch what happens and how he's going around dismantling the globals. And I think it's going to be soon. I think wait till after the meeting with Putin. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, definitely interesting times. Do you sense, how should we put this? You know, there's always been talk since even before Trump got into office that maybe he might be taken out of the picture. Maybe he picks up so much steam that the globalists do try to take him out, much like in Kennedy fashion. Do you feel any kind of fear along that line, or is that just all nutty talk?
Well, it's all nutty talk at this point, because those same characters, those are the bad guys. The good guys have infiltrated and taken those guys out. Those guys are on the run. Good luck trying to run an operation. It's no longer the Praetorian Guard that's going to assassinate Caesar at this point. You know, these guys have been purged. The CIA is in the process of being purged. The State Department is in the process of being purged. The swamp is being drained. And I think that any sort of move against Trump, you see, if there's any sort of move that should be against this guy, they should have done it before, not after. Because now, unlike Kennedy, well, here's what happened to Kennedy. Kennedy, you were in an executive office, which was the weakest branch of government back in 1963. Today, the executive office is the most strongest branch of government. Thanks to all the executive orders, and thanks to all the globalist false flags and 9/11 and the Patriot Act, the executive office is the strongest office now. So now you have Trump in charge of the most powerful office in government. okay, in terms of strength. And he's sitting on a military intelligence contraption that is right now the finest in the world in terms of spying, in terms of espionage, in terms of information. He's got all the tools now, man. These guys are screwed. I mean, think about it. He's got the NSA by the balls. What are they going to do? I'm going to hide my assets. Where?
Yeah, he's definitely been proactive. I mean, you can't dispute that. The first, you know, few weeks, I mean, he came out of the gates. And, he, you know, he's definitely proactive. And so, V, really appreciate you coming on today. I know you got to go here and get ready for, you know, our show later today on Rogue Money. Why don't you give us a little inkling on some of maybe your upcoming articles, projects, some of your other media appearances, do a little shameless self-promotion, and we'll close.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things I'm working on right now, we got an article that's coming together. It's exposing Soros's cohort who's been helping him. That's going to be a big one coming up. In terms of upcoming interviews, we have an interview coming up with Danielle DiMartino Booth. She's the woman who was an insider at the Federal Reserve. And she wrote the book, Fed Up. She's going to be on. And also, I think in spring, I think the gorilla will be coming out of the Economist. So we're going to probably do this huge public reveal. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That's about it. Yeah.
Sounds good. And like I said, get to his YouTube channel, Rogue Money. Again, roguemoney.net. A lot of great information on the front of economics, geopolitics, a lot of great analysis. And I always appreciate you coming on, sir, and giving us your take on things. Folks, make sure you subscribe to Tradcat Night. Click that notification button so you can get these videos sent right to your email. If you have any questions for me, contact me at apostleofmary@hotmail.com. Look forward to our next show again Monday through Friday. Special guests, got a lot of good ones coming up here in February. And until next time, my good friends, stay safe and God bless.